नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Verses 30 and 31. So, first verse is not there, so just read it. Mane giram te jagatam vimohinim param vrishnaveti bhajatam matavat vachanu tantyayadi tejatosita Katam puna karma karoti mohitam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada says, My dear Lord, what you have said to your unalloyed devotee is certainly very much bewildering. The allurements you offer in the Vedas are certainly not suitable for pure devotees. People in general, bound by the sweet words of the Vedas, engage themselves again and again in fruitive activities, enamorated by the results of their actions. So the purpose of the first verse by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, has said that persons who are very much attached to the fruitive activities of the Vedas, namely Karma Kand, Jnana Kand, are certainly doomed. In the Vedas, there are three categories of activities known as karmakan, fruitive activities, jnanakan, philosophical research, and upasanakan, worship of different demigods for receiving material benefits. Those who are engaged in karmakan and jnanakan are doomed, in the sense that everyone is doomed who is entrapped in the material body. Whether it is a body of a demigod, a king, a lower animal, or whatever, the suffering of the threefold miseries of material nature are the same for all. Cultivation of knowledge to understand one's spiritual position is also, to a certain extent, a waste of time, because the living entity is an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. His immediate business is to engage himself in devotional service. Prithu Maharaj, therefore, says that the allurement of material benediction is another trap to entangle one in this material world. He therefore frankly tells the Lord that the Lord's offering of benediction in the form of material facilities are certainly causes for bewilderment. A pure devotee is not at all interested in bhakti or mukti. The Lord sometimes offers benedictions to the neophyte devotee who have not yet understood that material facilities will not make them happy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord therefore says that a sincere devotee who is not very intelligent may ask some material benefit from the Lord. But the Lord, being omniscient, does not generally give material rewards, but on the contrary, takes away whatever material facilities are being enjoyed by his devotee. So that ultimately the devotee will completely surrender unto him. In other words, the offering of benedictions in the form of material profit is never auspicious for the devotee. The statements of the Vedas, which offer elevation to heavenly planets, in exchange for great sacrifices, are simply bewildering. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 2.42, the Lord says, Yam imam puspitam vacham pravadanti avipashitaha. the less intelligent class of men, avipashitaha, attracted to the flowery language of the Vedas, engage in fruitive activities to become materially benefited. Thus, they continue life after life in different bodily forms to search very, very hard. So here we come to the verse which we had it on the board, so I'll read it and then we'll continue. Tvan maya yada janesha kandito yadanya ashastra ratnamano buddha yata charit balahitam pita swayam tata tvam evarhashi nasamihitum. Would you like to repeat? Tamaya yada janesha kandito. Yadanya ashashta ratmano buddha yata charit bhalahitam pita swayam tata tvam evarhasi na samihitum. Tamaya yada janisha kandito yadanyad ashashta ratmano buddha yatta charit bhalahitam pita swayam tata tvam eva hashina samihitum. Devotees? Twat, your, mayaya, by illusory energy, ada, certainly, jana, the people in general, isha, oh my lord, kanditaha, separated, yat, because, anyat, other, ashaste, they desire, rta, real, atmanaha, from the self, abuddha, without proper understanding, yata, as, charit, would engage in, balahitam, the welfare of one's child. Pita, the Father, Swayam, personally, Tata, similarly, Tvam, your Lordship, Eva, certainly, Arhasi, Narsami Hitum, please act on my behalf. So translation by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. My Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please, do not ask me to take some material benefits from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son. Please, bestow upon me whatever you think best for me. So, my Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you, but as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is the duty of the son to depend upon his father without asking anything from him. The good son has faith that the father knows best how to benefit him. Similarly, a pure devotee does not ask anything from the Lord for material benefit, nor does he ask anything for material benefit. The pure devotee is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord takes charge of him. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshami. The Father knows the necessities of the Son and supplies them. And the Supreme Lord knows the necessity of the living entities and supplies them sumptuously. Therefore, the Ishopanishad is stated, everything in this material world is complete, purnam idam. The difficulty is that due to forgetfulness, the living entity create unnecessary demands and entangle themselves in material activities. The result is that there is no end to material activities, life after life. Before us, there are varieties of living entities, and everyone is entangled in transmigration and activities. Our duty is simply to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and let Him take charge, for He knows what is good for us. Prithu Maharaj, therefore, tells the Lord that, as the Supreme Father, He may elect to bestow whatever He considers beneficial. For Prithu Maharaj, that is the perfect position of the living entity. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in his Sikshashtaka, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagati Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvari Bhavati Bhakti Haitukitai. O mighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor have I any desire to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. The conclusion is that the pure devotee should not aspire after any material benefit from devotional service. nor should he be enamorated by fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. He should always be engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Agyanmati Mirandasa Janma Janma Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Jena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first, thank you very much for one more opportunity of sharing some simple realizations. And I'll try to speak a little bit. Prabhupada has already said so much nectar in these two pages of purport that I just try to expand a little bit on my realizations of this topic. So the first point is that Prita Maharaj has received the darshan of the Lord. He executed ceremonies as a perfect king, as a Shakti Vishavatar. He knew perfectly what had to be done, and he did it. And in the last moment, he was deprived of the chance of completing the 100 Ashwamedha ceremony sacrifice. And the Lord, in the form of Lord Brahma, instructed him to be peaceful with that. Then, because the Lord was so happy that Prita Maharaj renounced completing that jagya in the name of authority, because Brahma had instructed him, he appeared personally. And so when Prita Maharaj had the darshan of the Lord, naturally, as a very advanced devotee, symptoms of devotion started to appear. And in verses back, we hear that he started crying, his hair was standing on end, and there are so many other descriptions of his static symptoms. When the Lord instructed him, he wasn't completely satisfied. He wanted to express something in return. And he offered these beautiful prayers, which these two prayers which we have read, a part of them. And he's coming to the point where he's defining pure devotional service. So his angle is the angle of someone who has reached to that place and is looking back. And he's simply saying, from that angle, it does not make sense to desire anything which is material, because that's simply the activity of the material world, the dead matter. The true substance lies in the spiritual world, within Radha and Krishna and the service, eternal service. So, in the first verse, he's saying to the Lord, very frankly, that he's a bit confused, because as a pure devotee, he shouldn't desire anything. But here, right in front of him, is the Lord Himself offering him whatever he wants. Anything he wants, anything he desires, the Lord is ready to give. And by his example, he's showing that in this moment, the only proper thing to desire is to serve the Lord eternally. That's the only desire that should be in a pure devotee's heart. So this is the teaching of Prita Maharaj. to us, to the humanity. Now, in the first purport, Prabhupada also talks about other systems of elevation which are available for us through the Vedas. He talks about Karmakand and Gyanakand. And he uses the word are doomed. It's a very strong word, right? Doomed means something which is finished forever. It even seems like that description of the Bible that you burn in hell forever, right? It's something so definitive, doomed. But then he explains in the sense that everyone is trapped in the material body. And that is the pure love of the pure devotee. Because he understands that once the soul is entrapped into the material body, the bodily conception is not an easy job to get over, because the soul gets completely identified with the body. And trying to find answers to where do I come from, why do I suffer, why is everything so unclear about my destiny, the soul cannot easily find these answers. And so he's saying, even if you take to the process of karma kanda, which is saying that you do sacrifices with the objective to elevate yourself, but in the end, you have so many benefits in the celestial planets or wherever you may arrive. The ultimate benefit is simply to enjoy. And that is doomed because it does not suck you out from the consciousness that you are the enjoyer and the controller. And this is the point in the consciousness where we attract. Because crossing that level of identity from enjoyer and controller to I'm a servant of the Lord, that is very difficult in the material world. Because the level of identity is so great, there are so many layers, it's as described in the creation, of the material elements which cover the soul, that is simply impossible to go. The soul actually thinks this material world is relevant. There is a special place waiting for me some moment, and I am the true Son of God who is going to enjoy this perfect world. Now, the problem in that conclusion is that this world is full of miseries. We have to take birth. And that's so, we do not remember that, but in the womb, Kapila Deva is telling the Vahuti what happens. The baby is beaten by worms. He says the baby is, or the soul is there in the middle of feces and urine and everything, that he's there in the middle of all that. And the soul is going through a lot of difficulties. So that's getting born after the babies. We just love our babies, but sometimes you just forget how much trouble they went through when they were in the womb. First, because for some fortunate souls, they still remember 100 life back. That's what Kapila says. You remember 100 life back. And you remember that for 100 life, you made the absolute determined vow that in this life, you would become Krishna conscious, and you have forgotten that. Because your parents gave you so much care, you got so happy with all that environment, that you just forgot. We just forgot. So in that sense, this is the first misery, to be born. As soon as you're born, then you can have all kind of diseases. A simple flu, not being able to tell your parents what you really want. And they are not, and the parents just get crazy. I can tell that myself. We don't know what the little kid wants, and we do anything. Mothers will agree. And it's a pain. It's a pain. And diseases come, and gradually we get so enamored by the world, We contemplate that we may have a career, we may have this perfect partner which will be on our side and just follow us and listen to us and understand us and give us all the attention and care that we need. And life goes on. And we get enamored by this beautiful house at the beach or the mountains or anywhere. And then old age comes. And then your muscle starts to pain, your bones starts to ache, and you realize it's hard, you know? So Kapila Dev concluded that in the end, you will realize it's very painful to be in the body. So that conclusion eliminates a little bit of the karmakanda path, because you cannot get away from the concept of I'm enjoying controller. Yet, you are trapped in this system where there's miseries and there's no revelation about your ultimate destiny. And then, being tired of all this beautiful scenery, the soul, after many lives, shifts his consciousness to Gyanakan, which is philosophical research, as Prabhupada points here. And that's simply trying to understand what is giving problem in the world and how do I get away from that. So, we have many systems in the Vedas, up to systems which are very austere, just eating barks of trees or whatever fruit happens to be, and doing severe penance because I don't want to get involved in the world. But still, Prabhupada says you're doomed. Because still you cannot cross that line of I'm enjoyer and controller of my activities. So you are trapped in this bodily concept of life, still. And Prabhupada says the greatest danger of this world is the animal life. So we may live in that realm. So, as we're starting, definitely the situation is very important, because I may be attached to some situations which I think it's not completely adequate for the material endeavor. But at the same time, to give it up seems to be so difficult that we sometimes get a little bit, you know, divided, split. I like to go, but at the same time, I cannot leave, so what do I do? And in this moment, the Lord has some very special benedictions for the devotee. Sometimes He just takes everything away, as Prabhupada points out. He just takes everything away as a special mercy. And that can cause a lot of fear, because we'll think, oh, if that's with that element which I like so much is taken away, how will I survive into the devotional service, devotional process? And sometimes the Lord keeps that facility because He understands by keeping it will be progressive. So the element here is what is progressive towards the real understanding of substance, the real understanding of devotional service. So once the devotee has reached that line where he's crossed his major anarthas and his major problems in identifying himself with this world, then he contemplates backwards that they were not so meaningful anyway. But then he has crossed that path. A mistake which I myself committed is trying to skip levels. It's trying to, because we always want to identify as something good, as the soul feels eternal and something good, there is a tendency of trying to contemplate what's the best and trying to be there. That's the exact meaning of Bhajna Kriya. You associate with devotees and you want to take up something superior, so you take up their sadhana. And in that taking up of the sadhana, sometimes we may think ourselves ahead of where we actually are. I have fallen that trap many times. I frankly admit to you all, it's no big revelation, it happens. And that only showed me, or Krishna only showed me, that that was not valuable. What was valuable was trying to please him. And then by very honestly analyzing what was the pleasing element, that pleasing element Krishna multiplied. And that pleasing element would lead to something superior. So that's the yoga ladder. You take to karma, karma yoga, your karma kandi. There's no Krishna. When you put Krishna in, it becomes karma yoga. First it's full of material desires, sakama karma yoga. Then as you put knowledge, niskama karma yoga. And that becomes buddhi yoga. And as it progresses, it heads towards Shuddha Bhakti. Then when you're in Shuddha Bhakti looking backwards, then you see that all those steps, they're not relevant any longer, but they were at that time. And it's important for the devotee to recognize that and work on that. Because if we do not remove the material desire, it stays. Even though time is evolving, the material desire stays. And the material desire does not have a space in pure devotional service. Pure unalloyed devotional service does not have any tinge of material desires. The only desire is to please the Lord. And depending on the level of your desire to please the Lord, someone may desire to please the Lord by being near Him. Then probably he'll be somewhere in Vaikuntha. Or someone may develop the symptoms of basically just desiring to serve the servant of the servant of the Lord. And that will take him to Braj, to Vrindavan. Because that's where that level of consciousness happens. And that's the treasure that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought to us. Because his mission is to deliver pure love of God to all living entities. Prabhupada starts the verse with Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's very interesting because before this acharya was born, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his prem waiting for him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, going to Vrindavan, made a detour and went to this village. And in this village, he started just getting in ecstasy and chanting the name Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And then he got in ecstasy and he lost his consciousness just chanting the name of Narottam. And everybody was confused and they wanted to take the Lord back to Nilachala because there he would be more peaceful. But the Lord was just in ecstasy and they did not know what was happening. So after some time the Lord reveals to some intimate followers that Narottam Das Thakur will be born in that village. And he wants to give him his mercy. So he just goes into the river Padmavati, bathes there, and leaves Prem. And the time he leaves Prem, the river is so agitated that it starts flooding all the places. And everybody's confused because there's no rain. How come there's flood? There's no rain? Maybe they saw, a dam broke, so the water is coming. But at the time there's no dam. So they did not understand what was happening. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his prem waiting for Narottam Das Thakur. So, sometime later, this devotee has a desire to go in the middle of the night and bathe in this river. So he's agitated and he just goes. And when he gets there and he bathes, the river goddess appears before him and says, "Please, take this, it's for you. I cannot handle it. It's too much for me. I cannot deal with this prem. So you take it. What are you going to do with it? You better be careful because you may go crazy." And he said, "I'll just drink it." And he drank it. And immediately a golden boy entered into his consciousness. And he lost his consciousness. And he started crying and jumping and screaming. And he got agitated and got completely taken by this prem. And he went home and his mother got confused and everybody got confused how he had this prem. And then there is such a glorious story after that, how he meets his spiritual master, how he serves him humbly. Having a received prem, his attitude is so humble. He cleans the stool of his spiritual master for a year. You know, and his master, his spiritual master, just told him, "You have prem, you need no guru. You have attained perfection, so you need no master. You can go." But he says, "No, but if one does not have the instruction of the spiritual master, he has no goal in life. He doesn't know what he has to do. So, and I haven't that, so I'm very unfortunate. So please, you be my spiritual master." Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a spiritual master. So I need a spiritual master. So please kindly be my spiritual master. He says, no, but I cannot take a disciple without analyzing his character for 1 year. So you stay and I'll give you the holy name. So the whole pastime evolved. And having reached this level of pure devotional service, for him, certainly bhakti and mukti meant nothing. And the separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most prominent element. So, having arrived in that level and looking back, the material world seems like empty. Even this world in the devotional association without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed empty. So, here, Prita Maharaj is defining that position, so anyone following the process of Bhakti Yoga given by the Acharyas can have his goal proper, with a proper prayojana, proper goal. Then we have a proper sambandha, and from the proper sambandha we have a proper abhideya. So we know who we are servants of the Lord. The process is to follow the instructions given by the Acharyas, specifically our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And the goal is to become eternal servant of the Lord. This is the Vashtatrai given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the message that Srila Prabhupada brought to us. So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining very kindly for us that from that perspective, this element of the material world seems very little, because they are just the material world. The potent principle of connecting to Krishna is the element to be acquired by us, and that will change its medium from the material world to the spiritual world. But the principle of satisfying Krishna is what's to be gained in the material world, in a conscious building level. So, Srila Prabhupada here ends, I could say something about this verse too. The same Sikshashaka Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, "I have no desire to accumulate wealth, no desire to enjoy beautiful women, nor to want any number of followers." These are the principles of material opulence: to have wealth, servants, and women. All kings had those, and they are considered to be people who are very opulent. And Gopi Paranadan Prabhu says in a class that that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam always talks about kings, because they have all these elements and how they just left all that and went for self-realization. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Saksha is also defining the same position of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada concludes saying that a pure devotee should not aspire any material benefit from devotional service, nor should he be enamorated by fruit activities or philosophical speculation. He should always be engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada has given us the proper prayojana. This is where we have to get to. And if we haven't got to that level, what we have to do is engage whatever is not in that level to Krishna, so that it will get to that level. So that's the basic message that I, as far as I can understand, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out. So I'll end here, and then I'll open for comments for the advanced devotees here. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Comments, questions, if anybody wants to make any comment, question, wants to expand, feel at home. Okay, so this person is asking from Malaysia. He's asking, who is Harishwasa? That mentioned in Krishna book. When Devaki was doing her prayers unto Lord Vishnu, she said that you have a lot of incarnations, just like Vamana, Rama, and etc. So at that time, she mentioned that name. I do not know. Does anybody know? Harivisha. I don't recall. Does anybody? So sorry, this question we have to research and perhaps tell you later. Okay, so no more questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.